Welcome to Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Get full access into the world of women's bodybuilding, women's physique, figure, fitness, and bikini. Here are your hosts, Diana Dahlgren and Christina Voynich.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I am joined by my co-host, Diana Dahlgren. What's happening?
What's up?
Not much. What's going on? Let's talk about each other.
We keep talking at the same time. I'm good, girl. I'm just, hanging out today. I leave on Thursday for Dallas, so I'm pretty excited. And you're doing the same, right?
Yes. I leave. I made the announcement on Access last week. It was this week. Last week, I don't remember that I was doing Dallas. Yeah, so officially doing Dallas, and I leave on Thursday morning as well. Michael actually jumped into the show last week as well, so we both get to compete. And we leave, I think our flight leaves at around 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, so we get in around 9. So it's an early flight for us, but we like to do that just in case there are any delays.
Yeah, my flight leaves at 8 a.m.
Yeah, how long of a flight is it for you?
Well, I'm taking Southwest, and we have to stop in one place for like 45 minutes, so it's going to be like a four-hour trip.
Oh, I'm always scared when there's a layover. Or do you change planes or no?
No, I just sit on the plane and wait. Like, we pick up passengers in El Paso, Texas.
Okay, then I don't feel like that's so bad. For anyone that heard when Michael did Orlando, it took me 26 hours, to get to Orlando. So I'm always worried that if I don't have a nonstop flight, that somehow, somewhere, we're going to miss a connecting flight. I'm not going to be able to compete. And there's this, like, whole, issue. But we don't have any layovers on our flight, thank goodness.
Yeah, no. If that happens, then I will never fly with Southwest again. And they will be, a little bit upset because I fly with them every weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't flown with Southwest in a long time. Usually I fly United, but every time that I've had a delay, it's been with Delta. So Delta had cheaper flights for me and Michael to get to the show. But I was like, hell no, I'm not ever booking with Delta again. Ever.
Really? I love Delta.
Oh, I've never had an on-time flight with Delta.
A lot of people tell me that too. I've only had like one or two mishaps with Delta. And the first time I ever had it was I was flying out for a booking and I had to be there. I fly out on a Friday and I had to work Saturday. Well, I was going all the way East Coast. I was going from LAX to Jacksonville, Florida. And my flight, we sat in the plane for like an hour and they're like, sorry, kept on putting it off. Finally, they're like, we're having some technical difficulties or mechanical difficulties. We're going to ask that you guys come back in about 4 to 5 hours and then we're going to be able to take off. And I'm like, at that point, I lived in LA. So I was like, I'm just going to go home. It's a 20-minute drive home. And I'm just going to come back tonight and take a red eye in and then land Saturday morning and then go straight to work and then get on the plane and come back. Like, it'll be perfect. So when I went out to go get my, new ticket, I'm like, listen up, lady.
Lady.
Every time I fly East Coast, I fly with you guys. So you better give me a first class ticket. And sure enough, she was like, yeah, no problem. Here you go. And then I got a first class trip and it was just so nice. I got to sleep the whole way there.
Oh, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have had better luck with Delta.
As long as it works out with your schedule, it's okay. But if you're cut for time, like if my flight gets canceled tomorrow morning, I'm going to have to go to another airline and book a ticket right then and there,
Yeah, exactly. And that's almost what I had to do when I was trying to go to Orlando. Instead, I stayed in this like really ghetto, creepy hotel in Memphis. It was a disaster. So, yeah, that's why we're like, and I was alone, and that was the worst thing is, when you're a young female and you're going to check into this really creepy airport hotel, and there are other people who also miss their flights. So there's like guys and families and like there was like a group of guys that was there and like, and you're just a little worried for your safety. So I was like, never again am I are we going to travel separate when we're competing, because it would just be a pain. And I was scared, to be honest, yeah, for my life.
Oh, I totally get scared all the time. And I used to not be scared like at all. I used to not have a problem at all traveling alone. But I think the more older I get, or like the more mature I get, like, I just notice a lot more men, like, looking, and it's like, it scares the hell out of me because I travel alone. Like, it's not like I have someone to accompany with ever, you know? And I get in a taxi by myself and I go to the hotel by myself. It's like, everything's alone. So I'm kind of thankful I always have someone to check in with, you know, to make sure that I'm okay with, like, my boyfriend or my family.
No, that's definitely smart to do. Well, we promised last week that we would, last time, you know, we talked about the top 10 things, or I guess our top 10 things that to not say about your ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend to your current girlfriend or boyfriend, and I think it was a big hit. A lot of people liked our chit-chat about it. So we talked last week that this time we're actually going to talk about what it's like to date a competitor. So, you know, I will kind of give the rundown of what it's like when you are the female on the side dating a male bodybuilder. And then, Diana, you'll talk about your side with, you know, what your boyfriend does to help or not help.
Yeah.
Or not help. Your own prep. So this was really good because we're both kind of in the mix of getting ready for a show. So I think this is a good topic. And actually, before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to Jason. I believe his last name is Moran. I might be wrong. But I do know that his girlfriend is Stacey Osborne, and the two of them are a couple, and he competes. So he's a male bodybuilder, and he contacted me even before this topic had come up that they wanted to talk about what it's like to deal with when, you know, one or the other is doing a show. So he sent me this email, and I thought it was great, and I'll just read a quick, you know, a few excerpts before we get started. So he tells me that him and Stacey had been together like 5 months before he started their contest prep. It was kind of new and exciting for her. She never lived the gym life, so this was, you know, kind of new. And she was helping prep his meals, understood the long hours at the gym. But then at about 8 weeks out, it got very difficult. I think anyone who's ever been with someone getting ready for a show, it's about that between 8 and 4 weeks that things start to get a little fuzzy. He says they started to suffer, you know, financially with food and supplements, but definitely emotionally. He said that as the diet got stricter, cardio got harder. It was different and difficult for her because it wasn't that he was a grouch all the time, but he was just kind of blah, you know, just kind of flat. Uh-huh. She'd get agitated a little quicker. The main thing that bothered her was that apparently he's normally a very affectionate, lovey-dovey, so to speak, kind of guy. And as he got closer to a show, he didn't want to be touched, didn't want to show the affection. And that was really frustrating for her. And I think a lot of us can all relate to that when one or the other's getting ready and getting kind of close. And, you know, just emotionally and sexually and physically, you just kind of want to chill and be left alone and kind of veg out while you're getting ready to compete. So he said it was hard for her not to take it personally, but assuming that, you know, I guess assuring her that everyone else was dealing with the same things, you know, he assured her, too, that after the show, it'd be back to normal. Everyone deals with this. So I want to say thank you to Jason and Stacey for sharing their story because they also wanted advice on what to do. He did the Dexter Jackson Classic, and I haven't had a chance to see how he did, but apparently after he competed, his girlfriend promised him that, of course, she was, in fact, still in love with him, and she loved him as well, which means, you know, he told me in the email, which means she's a keeper, and he's not going to let her go anywhere because he said, I bet all the top guys are top guys because they have a good girl in their corner, which I thought was really sweet of him to say. So I think this story kind of sums up a lot of relationships when you're dealing with someone who's either a bodybuilder, a figure competitor, a women's bodybuilder, whatever the case is. So you and I are going to kind of go, I think, back and forth now on our take on all this. We are now a week out from a show, both of us, or I should say less than a week out from a show.
Oh, yeah, a few days.
A few days now, and Michael is the same. So now, Diana, you told me before on the show, you've shared, that you never really dated bodybuilders. So your story is a little different because you were the one competing and the other guy wasn't competing, right?
Yeah. Any time that I've competed, you know, I've either been single. I mean, most of the time I was single, but, you know, being in a relationship. Actually, no. My first competition, I was in a relationship. And that, I want to tell this guy, did this guy in his email to you tell you if this was his first show? It was, right?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I can completely understand him, because my first show, I was, trained with Kim Otto, right? What am I thinking? So his diet, I don't know if you've heard, but his diet is very, very, very to the T strict. Like, the guy does not let you have any sugar. Like, there's no cheating. There's nothing. Like, if you're feeling weak and you need a cheat meal, there's no cheat meal. Like, you got to just basically push through it. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of times where I was doing towards the end a lot of cardio, and on top of that, my weight training. And at the end of the day, I'd come home, and I was in a bad mood all the time because I was so calorie deficient, and it really took a toll on the relationship that I was in. Like, he put up with it for a long time, for a few months, you know, and then as soon as I was on like the pro card hunt, like, he had to deal with it for even longer. And I think that's what kind of like sunk it in as a done deal, because he just my boyfriend at that time couldn't handle it anymore. I was just so mean and just wanted to be alone. And another thing too is I did not want to be touched. Like, I didn't even want the dog to lick me if the dog came running. Like, I didn't want to. My dad is a very affectionate person, like, towards all of us, like my brothers and sisters and everything. And he loves to give us, like, a big hug and tell us how proud he is. And it's like, he'd come up to me and, like, give me a hug. And like, I'd be like, ugh, just, like, get off me. Like, nope, I couldn't take even affection from my own family. So it's like, that when you told me something, it took me back, because I'm like, oh my God, I remember being like that. And that's one of the things that I always talk about when I talk to women who are in relationships, who are thinking about competing. I'm like, listen, the number one thing that you need to do is, if you are in a serious relationship, you need to not let this affect your relationship at all, because this is not going to work for your lifestyle at all. Mm-hmm. So, and plus a lot of my girlfriends that I'd met through competing were starting to get divorces while they were competing. And I'm like, this isn't because you're dieting, right? Like, this isn't because you're being, you know, a bitch because you're dieting, right? And they're like, some of them were taken back, like, oh shit, like, maybe if I wasn't always concentrated on me, like, I was still concentrated on my husband or my marriage or my family, like how I used to be, then maybe things would be a little bit different. So, completely can understand where he's coming from there, but life does get back to normal as soon as you're done competing. But hopefully you can be healthy after you're done competing, so that you don't blow up in weight and, you know, you still look sexy for your mate.
Exactly, which is very, very important.
Because then you're going to want to be touched. Trust
me. I was going to say, the second you've got food in your body, then everything goes back to normal.
No, you don't even know. I'm going to put it out there. As soon as I touch sweet potato pie after my contest, I'm like, ready to roll. Where's my man at? Where's my man?
I was like, all men, keep that in mind. They're gonna start showing up to shows with sweet potato pie, hoping that you'll.
Betty Barisa is going to see a very, very high spike in ticket sales for this weekend.
all the men bringing sweet potato pie.
Oh, well, girlfriend, you know about her dessert table, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I was in Orlando. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
It's about to get crazy up in Dallas.
I'm gonna take him and freeze him because I have a shoot on Monday in Dallas, so I can't get all fat.
There you go. Okay, fair enough. You can enjoy maybe one piece, and then that's it.
That's it.
Real quick, Jason, I did just find out. Jason actually took fifth place in men's light heavy, and then he actually got first place in the men's middleweight novice. So,
So he did a great job.
Yeah, so I just saw that on his Facebook, so I wanted to give kudos where they were deserved. Jason made a good point in the email he sent me at the end. He wanted advice for rookie girlfriends and maybe even rookie boyfriends. That this is the first time, you know, your significant other is competing. You're like, what the hell is going on? Their hormones are all out of whack. They don't want to touch you. Then they're needy, and then they're not needy. And you don't really know what to do. So I'll give, I guess, just a couple of tips for, I guess, the females dealing with it. And you know, Diana, you can chime in too, because you're also a female. So you know how women think. I think probably the hardest thing for women to deal with, and this is kind of all across the board. I have so many girlfriends who, you know, are dating bodybuilders, whether it's pros or high level, national level amateurs. As the show gets closer, the sex drive starts to go away. And I think that is probably the hardest thing to deal with, because as women, we do take that personally. You know, we think, oh, he's not attracted to me, I'm not sexy enough. And it doesn't matter if you're a competitor or just a normal chick or if you're out of shape. It doesn't matter. This goes to all women across the board that, you know, we kind of tend to think, oh, he must not be attracted to me anymore. You know, you can wear the little sexy outfits around the house and he doesn't try to, you know, grab your ass or try to have sex with you. It's the difference, and I think a lot of women need to understand, and I had to learn this too, because it is tough when you're dating a bodybuilder, is it's not about you at that point. Mm-hmm. It's not anything you're doing or anything you're not doing or doing or whatever the case is. It's just their head is not quite in the game. And Mike made a good point with this to me before too. And he's actually not too bad when it comes to this when he gets ready for a show. But, you know, at that point, you figured most men, you're depleting yourself, especially the last few weeks. You're doing all this cardio. Your body's going through all these major changes within the last couple of weeks. The last thing your biological self is thinking about is reproducing, right? Uh-huh. You're not getting all the nutrients that you need. You're not getting, you know, all of the intake, all the calories that your body needs to properly function. That's why everyone nearly becomes a zombie as they get ready to compete, because everyone's so depleted. So when he put it to me like that, that physically your body is not thinking about even reproducing. And obviously that made more sense to me than just, oh, I'm just tired. Oh, I'm not in the mood. Oh, I don't feel well. Like when I heard that, I think a lot of women could probably understand that. Do you think?
Yeah, it does. That, it kind of sucks, because if I were in a guy's position, if I could just put myself in a man's position and just be like, oh my God, like, I don't even want to touch my girlfriend. Me as a girlfriend, I'd be like so sad. I would be very sad, but I would try and be understanding as possible. But I'm a little depleted myself right now, so I don't even know what the point of that answer was.
It's okay. It's okay. This is a perfect example.
I'm just going to be honest.
So if I take the man's side and you're not making sense right now, I just say, okay, babe, yeah, honey.
Now your blonde hair is starting to make sense, Diana.
No, it's totally okay. So this is how I've kind of thought a good alternative would be, right? So obviously, sex takes energy, and energy is not necessarily something that most men have when they're competing, or when they're getting ready to compete, I should say, when they're last stages. So there's a few ways, I think, that you can kind of remedy this. Either A, the woman just needs to say, listen, you know, I know that, you know, sex just isn't going to happen right now. I understand you're tired or whatever. And I think what the women need to do, and this is what I have learned too, that you kind of leave it in their hands. You leave it in your guy's hands. You say, listen, I don't want to try to jump on top of you when you are exhausted and you're not feeling, when your body hurts and everything. Because the last thing I want as a female is to try to pursue something and then get rejected. You know, mm-hmm. That's even worse than not getting attention at all. So I think letting yourself mentally kind of accept the fact that you're not going to get any, and that's just how it's going to be. And then letting him know, hey, I'm game whenever you are. So if you're feeling good later this afternoon, perfect. If you're feeling good tomorrow night, great, I'll be ready. But I'm going to leave it all in your hands for the last, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, because I understand that this is something that, you know, you need to take care of. But with the understanding that as soon as that show is over, I'm getting mine right then. You know what I mean? So it's okay. I'll let you make the decisions on what's going to happen, because, like I said, the last thing a woman needs is to then be rejected, and because then that messes with your head a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It is very important to get that fire back in your relationship as soon as possible, because I know that as soon as I got done competing, like after I turned pro, I was done with that relationship, and I was like, man, I feel so bad for him, like, half the reason why my relationship probably went downhill was because for a while I didn't want to have sex. And like, he was so horny, right? Or I'm really young. At that point, I was really young. We were both like wanting to hump all the time. And then all of a sudden I just shut it off. Like, boom, don't want to touch me. Don't want to do nothing. And so I kind of like made myself be horny all the time after that. Like, even if I wasn't, I would make myself think about sex and stuff because I never wanted to be in a position again in my life, like, no matter what happens, what I go through. I mean, obviously, there's going to be exceptions, but, like, if this prep, you know, I've been with somebody and there hasn't been any issues with that. Like, because I keep it in my head all the time. Like, I'm always, like, Diana, like, that's important, fundamental in a relationship, you know, like, you can't deprive someone just because, you know, I've chosen to do something. So I think maybe when competitors start competing a lot more and they understand how it works with their body and yeah, you're still going to be deprived, but maybe once in a while, maybe like once a week or a few times a week, like even though you're completely depleted, you can still gather up enough energy, maybe in the morning time, maybe in like the mid-afternoon when you still have like the fat burner still rolling, maybe not at nighttime, like maybe you can find a little bit of time to at least fool around, you know?
And that's what I was going to say next too, that even if the guy doesn't really have the energy to do the whole thing, there are some other things you can do to kind of take care of your lady. She can lay there and just enjoy you taking care of her for a little bit, and then she's satisfied and you didn't have to do a whole lot of work. It wasn't like a cardio session. You know, so there's a compromise in the middle. And hey, once he starts getting going, maybe then he'll want to. So then it's game on for everybody. So I think that's another option. It's a good compromise, I guess.
Exactly. This is great. I can't believe you just said that.
It's true. It's true.
You can please your lady.
Please your lady.
That's awesome.
You know what? I think it's the same thing for women, too. You know, if you're not in the mood, if you're dieting and you're really not in the mood to do this whole freaking cardio session for the next hour or however long it takes you, just please your man a little bit. And you're good.
Or bend over.
And just lay there. This is great. This is a great show. It's the highest rating show ever, Muscle Girls Inc. right now. I don't think my mom is going to approve of this show.
Yeah, I'll make sure that I don't tell anybody that I recorded this week. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't record this week.
Oh, another good thing that a lot of people have talked about is helping your significant other prep their food. I think this is a good thing to do. In our household, however, we don't like cooking food and then sticking it in Tupperware. We cook everything fresh if we can. If, you know, we have to cook something, we'll cook it and then we'll stick it in the cooler and we'll take it with us. But we don't, you know, I used to cook things like on Sunday nights for the whole week. But once you get to like Wednesday, the food just doesn't taste as good anymore.
Ew, yeah, no. Fresh.
Yeah, so I would always get to Wednesday and then like have to throw half the food out and start over again anyway. So I was like, well, it's pointless. So what my plan I do is we cook everything fresh. What I'll do is if I'm up in the morning before him, I'll ask him like, hey, do you want me to make your eggs? Do you want me to make you some steak or whatever it is he's going to eat for his first meal? And sometimes he'll say yes if he just wants to sleep a few minutes longer. Or in the afternoon, if I'm cooking, you know, my food, I'll say, hey, do you want me to, you know, make you some chicken or make you some beef or whatever? And he appreciates that, I think, more than anything that I do. Because it's just a little thing, because you know how it is. And anyone who has ever competed knows how it is. You're tired of cooking. Once you get closer, you're like, I don't want to see another frying pan. I don't want to see another crock pot. I don't want to have any more Mrs. Dash. You don't want to do it because you're tired and you just want someone to cook the food for you. And unfortunately, at this stage of the game, you can't really go out to eat to have someone cook food for you. So not that I'm saying that all women need to sit there and be Little Miss Homebody and cook all of their boyfriend's foods, because I still feel like it's part of their responsibility and their own prep to, you know, do it themselves some of the time. But as a girlfriend or wife or fiance or whatever, you know, I know that the guys really appreciate that when you're like, hey, can I help you out? What can I do? It's not every day, not every meal, but, you know, I'll offer every once in a while. And then, you know, I'll get a kiss or, you know, the woman gets a hug and it's like, thank you so much for doing that. And then, you know, you get a little more attention from that, a little more appreciation, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if I were, I have to think about, you know, what I cook as far as who, what I've cooked in the past for, you know, whatever, my ex-boyfriend. And he was into the endurance thing, like marathons and all that stuff. So if I ever cooked, it was, he got to have, you know, a lot more carbs, but he was into eating healthy and stuff like that. So it was kind of easy to make dinner because, you know, he was into eating black beans and brown rice and sweet potatoes and all that stuff. So it was nice. All I would have to do is like toss him a sweet potato at dinner with his chicken or he loved fish. Like he basically ate everything that I ate on my diet plan. He just ate more of it.
More right? of it. Yeah.
So it was nice being able to prep my food and if he wanted some, like, and I'm a cooker. I love to cook. Like, when we get off this thing. Really?
Oh, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Oh, God, I hate it. I think it's because I was never really good at it. I've gotten much, much, much better, but I hate cooking.
But you still hate it, even though you've been getting better at it.
Yeah, I still hate it. although I will say it is very fulfilling when you make something like out of the blue or something you kind of just threw together, like something you created out of your own ass, I guess.
Yeah.
And it turns out really good. Like, I will say that the few things I've made that Michael's like, wow, that's really good. And then he tries to make it and he can't do it as well. I'm like, yes, I win. So I will say that. But it's good for you that you actually enjoy cooking. That's awesome.
Yeah, so the thing is, you say, oh, I don't want to see another frying pan this week. It's like, I don't care because, honest to God, I don't have a 9-to-5 job, so it gives me something to do during the day.
That's true.
So when I get off our recording right now, I'm going straight up to the market, and I'm going to go get myself a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to go bake treats because I have a shoot on Monday after our show, so I can't really eat anything bad. I can have some steak and like a sweet potato, but I'm gonna make like a really good sweet potato pie that I know how to make that's really clean, like egg whites and, you know, Splenda, and that's it. But, you know, I'm gonna bake because I have nothing to do today. Like, I'm just sitting around waiting for, you know, time to pass. I keep thinking about this stupid show. I'm like, God, I can't wait till I'm on the stage again. Yay!
Right.
So I'm going to definitely be cooking a lot today and tomorrow.
Now, when you visit your boyfriend, does he cook any food for you or do you do most of the cooking?
No. He likes to eat out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he eats out. But he does, when I go there and visit, like, if I'm prepping, he'll stock his fridge full of food that I need. Like, he'll go get me extra lean turkey breast. He'll go get me vegetables. He has, like, he's a big condiments person, so he totally has mustard and soy sauce and salsa and everything that I like in there already. So he just goes and picks me up my fundamentals, like chicken breast, fish, veggies, and oatmeal and stuff like that. He eats really healthy, too. So in the morning time, he, like, makes a protein shake and, you know, puts a bunch of junk in it. Well, not junk, but, like, peanut butter, oatmeal. But during the daytime, he eats out, so...
Well, that's still nice, though, and that's good advice for, you know, any guys who have girlfriends competing. Like, just think, you may not want to cook it, but at least go pick it up, grab some veggies,
yeah, no, it's
get some
so
salad.
Nice.
Yeah, get onions and peppers and, you know, the fish and the chicken
and
or
that,
whatever
it is. It really makes your girlfriend, like, more attracted to you, being like, God, like, oh, so hot. This guy, like... supports what I'm doing. It's like sexy, you know?
A little bit goes a long way.
Exactly. Like, and then you know, he's into like wellness and health and fitness and everything. So like he has workout stuff at his house. So like half the time I don't even need to leave his house. It's like perfect because I love going to the gym, don't get me wrong by any means, but if I can go hiking or if I can go running outside, I will, or like stay home and work out. I would much, much rather do that than head to the gym again because I go to the same gym every single day. Like, I remember one of my last preps, like, or on my quest to get my pro card, right? I was so sick of going to the same gym every day and I couldn't cheat on my diet, right? Mm-hmm. That I was like, you know what? I have to change something in my life. What am I going to change? I'm going to change gyms. So I went and got a new gym membership. I started going to a bunch of different, LA Fitness has like 3 clubs in my valley. You know, there's one at the end of the valley. There's one at the beginning of the valley. There's one in the middle of the valley. So I go to whatever one I want to go to every day. you know, that I have a 24-hour fitness membership too, and so they have two clubs in my valley. So anytime I get really bored and I feel like I just need to change something in my life, I just go to a different gym.
That's actually a very good idea.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think about that.
I was going to say, I never thought about that. With us, the gym that we go to is Export, and there's like a million up here. So every week, we're at least in two different gym locations every week. So that usually helps a little bit. What helps me, too, with Michael is when I – well, I'll say I was first introduced to dating a bodybuilder with my ex-boyfriend. And when I dated him, I had never even been inside a gym before, right? Like, I had I never walked in the gym.
So thank you, ex-boyfriend.
Yes, yes. I had never done any of that. I didn't even know what it was like to be with a bodybuilder. So when we started dating, he was competing, and every night he was at the gym, and I would get frustrated because I was like, I'm sitting at home and he's at the gym for like an hour and a half. You know, you figured how long it takes to get there, changing clothes, bullshitting with people while you're there, getting your workout in, talking with more people before you leave, and then coming home like 2 hours later. I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't like that he's gone all the time. So I don't have that problem now, obviously, because Michael and I will go to the gym together. But what I've learned is there are times where he'll be training a client or have, you know, a couple clients, and then he's going to work out. So I usually don't do cardio too much in the off season, and I only do a little bit getting closer to contest. But what I've done is I just kind of schedule my time around going to the gym when he does. So I'll make sure that, okay, this is a long workout that I have to, if I have to do legs, right? And I know he's got to do, I don't know, a half hour workout, let's say, and 45 minutes of cardio. I know that if I do legs, that's going to pretty much take up the whole time. So I don't have to like sit at home and wait for him to come home. I'll just kind of change my schedule a little bit so I know that we'll be at the gym at the same time and then we can come home together. Or there are nights, which I think a lot of women could think about too, is you know, if your guy's at the gym for the second round of cardio or second round of training or something. Honestly, the last time we did that, I stayed home and I kind of just pine sawed it up. I wiped down the TV, the tables, I cleaned, I lit candles, and then when he came home, it was nice, and like, it smelled nice, and it was fresh. And again, it's just a little thing that he appreciated, because, you know, when you get closer to a show, the last thing you're thinking about is like, you know, wiping down the coffee table. You're just focusing on yourself. So I think I'm not advocating that these women like sit at home and cook and clean for their men by any means. I'm just saying, if you take one time when he's, you know, at the gym, it's like, just do a little quick load of laundry for him. And this goes for men and women too. You know, just like if I'm competing and Michael's not, you know, he'll throw some laundry in for me, or he'll wash the dishes for me, or he'll mop the floors if I'm gone at the gym or something. So it's the little things that I think a lot of people can really take
away. It definitely goes a long way.
It does. It does. Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything that you've ever experienced that you hated when you're getting ready for a prep from a significant other? Something they did... Knowing that you were competing, was there something they did or a way that they acted or anything that like really annoyed you?
You know what? No. Honest to God, my preps, if I've dated somebody, my ex-boyfriend, if we went out to eat, he would be kind of, thank God he loved sushi. So I would get a sashimi. He always pretty much accommodated me. Like any guy that I make sure to date people who support what I do in my life, just because I will do the same with you. So I don't really have, you know what? No. That's a lie.
And it comes out, and the truth comes out.
Well, I'm trying to think hard. What do I don't like? What do I don't like? I tend to date these sarcastic people. I love sarcastic people. I'm very sarcastic, and I like a guy who's much more sarcastic than me, because it puts a smile on my face. It makes me laugh. Like, jokes are funny. I like to laugh. So, my ex-boyfriend and my boyfriend now, they both are very sarcastic. I think the one even now, oh my God, he is like so sarcastic. So, but unfortunately, I can't take jokes all the time right now. So sometimes he like calls me my little name and I'm like, why do you gotta call me that name, dude? Like, what is your deal? And he's like, what do you mean, what's my deal? Like, we call each other this every day. Like, what are you talking about? But, or like, he'll just say something, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just, right now, I'm not even going to deal with this. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to just leave the room. And that's what I do. So there are times, but it's not because they're doing something that's out of the ordinary. It's because, I mean, I'm just not in the mood to deal with it because I'm right now I'm, you know, it's the last week and I'm depleting. And so there has been a few things where I'm like, okay, I really just don't like that, but I'm not going to be, I used to be in my, you know, learning through preps. I used to be a really big bitch. So, and I used to be like, what the fuck? Like, oh, excuse my language again. Edit that. And I used to be like, why do you got to do that? Why do you do this, this, and that? And the typical, like, nagging girlfriend that I've always promised myself not to be, I was doing, you know, in years past. And so that was the really big point or really big thing about prepping now is just, you know, treating, if you're really that irritated, just go in my room and, you know, let myself be alone. Like, it sucks being alone, but if I can't handle being nice to everyone around me just because of the fact that I'm dieting and I'm working out extra hard right now, like, then I don't deserve to be around people. So that's what I do. That's how I treat myself. I have to just, you know, get away and, you know, not be rude because, you know, they're doing the same things as always. I'm just not doing the same things as always.
That is, I think, probably the best advice that we could probably give people is, number one, if you're the one competing, just be honest with your significant other. Like, listen, I'm kind of having a day. I really just want some alone time. I love you. It's not about you. It's not, you know, because anything's wrong with our relationship. It's just I'm kind of having a tough time, so I'm going to go in the other room and kind of watch TV or eat my food. But assure the other person, like, hey, it's not you. It's totally me. I love you. We're fine. I just need to go chill and, like, have some alone time for right now. And I think if you just communicate that, then it should eliminate most arguments. I'm not going to say all arguments, but it at least gets the big ones out of the way. Because if you let the other person know how you're feeling and you let the other person know not to take it personal, then, you know, it's probably a lot better.
Exactly. And I don't know about the rest of the competitors out there listening. You know, all competitors, I think, have experienced a lot of the same things, but I totally am like a very strong person when, you know, being in a relationship and competing now. You know, at one point I wasn't, and that was a huge learning lesson. You know, you lose people in your life that you don't want to lose, and maybe it's not because of what they were doing, it's because of what you were doing. So that was a huge learning lesson for me. So it's always important to just kind of like take a step back in the off season, really look at your prep as a whole and like when it was great, when it was bad, and look at and really learn so that the next time you go through your prep, you can, when those bad times come up, you know how to handle situations. You know what you got to think of, you know, solutions and different scenarios for you to make things work if you're going to choose to compete. Because even though it is all about you, you still have other people around you that love you and care about you. And obviously, you want to treat those people good.
That's a good way to put it, too, is obviously you probably can't fix it in the midst of prep. You know, you can't really fix it then. When you can fix it is the off season, and you can say, you know, just like you said, totally right. I never even thought of it that way. Is, you know, in the off season, say, okay, what was good about this last prep and what was bad? And what are ways we can fix this next time around? Or at least, you know, compromise next time around or something. That way, everybody is a little happier next time around. Because obviously, if most people who compete once usually compete twice. So
I was just going to say that because anyone who competes once is either going to hate it, like, loathe it.
Like, never again in my entire life.
Never again in my entire life. Like, I have a girlfriend I competed with. She's actually my trainer's assistant, his office girl. Her daughter competed in the same show as I did. It was both our first shows. And she's like, girlfriend, I can't wait for this to be done, but I think I'm going to do the USA's because it was a week later. And so she did USA's, and I've never seen, that was, you know, 2 years ago. So I haven't seen her back since. And I always ask Tina when I go into the office, like, how's your daughter? And she's like, oh, good. She's just hanging out with her boyfriend. And I know that she's like, I don't ever want to compete again. Right. I did it for the experience, and I'm over it. But
and I'm done.
Yeah, if you decide to do more than one show and, like, you're on a quest for a pro card, you're basically already hooked. Like, you're always going to want to compete again. Like, I took a year off since the last Olympia, but that whole time, like, I wanted to compete again. It just so happened that I didn't get to compete until now.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So, it's one of those things that this isn't probably going to be the last time. But all you can do is look forward to the end of the prep, which everyone does, because, you know, who's ever competing, they don't like putting the other person through this, you know, let's just be honest. It's not fun for them either. But like you said, it's like you have to be a team. That's what I told Michael too. I was like, when we compete, whether it's you or me, we're a team. So you have to communicate. At that point, you have to, you know, really reevaluate the friendship that you have with your significant other, that it's not, you know, all about sex and it's not all this crazy passion. It's no, really, can I just, like, put my head in your lap while we watch TV because I'm really tired and I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Exactly.
So, well, I think that covers everything, Diana.
I think we didn't plan on having a long show today, and look at what happened.
I know. Like, half an hour, I was going to say half an hour later, but it's more like 45 minutes later. We have the 101 on how to have a good relationship show. So this was good.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that we had a good show today, and I'm really excited for us, because next week's show, we're definitely going to have to evaluate where we placed this upcoming weekend.
Yep.
And our goals and everything, and hopefully we'll walk out of there with some great results this weekend. I'm excited.
It should be fun, although I'm not excited about, like, the freaking 105 degree weather. I'm going to be honest with you.
I know, that sucks. But, I mean, I don't think the venue or our hotel room will be 105 degrees, so it's okay.
No, it's true, but I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God. At least it won't be raining, so I guess we can't complain.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and sunny out.
Exactly. Well, Diana, I will see you in Dallas.
I'll see you in a few days, girl.
Sweet. All right, well, that does it for this half of the show, and we will be back after this.
Muscle Girls, Inc., the next generation. Is pain during your workout slowing you down? Try Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Developed by Dr. Craig Banks, a chiropractor and a bodybuilder, Kodiak Chiropractic Cream is a topical formula that penetrates the skin and decreases inflammation and pain. Its unique blend of over 20 different natural anti-inflammatory ingredients has helped people across the country to work out with less pain. Kodiak is safe, effective, and it won't leave you smelling like a medicine cabinet either. A 4-ounce bottle is only $25 and lasts a long time, as a little goes a long way. To order your 2-month supply, call 330-678-2225 or go to KodiakCream.com. Get yours today and work out with less pain. KodiakCream.com. Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Ladies, enhance your mood, energy, and burn fat with Redline Princess. A landmark university study using Redline Princess on human subjects proved Redline Princess increased fat burning by 75%. Redline Princess burns fat by increasing metabolic rate. On average, test subjects using Redline Princess experienced an incredible 11.5% higher metabolic rate. Redline Princess, university proven to burn fat. Get great tasting Redline Princess and start burning fat today.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. T-tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same-day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RXMuscle.com and save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them. Pro Bodybuilding and Pro Figure is coming to India. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th in Mumbai, India. Featuring Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. Jay's only competitive bodybuilding show outside of the Mr. Olympia contest. Plus, all your favorite bodybuilders and figure athletes. Phil Heath, Branch Warren, Kai Green, Victor Martinez, Miss Figure Olympia Erin Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Cheryl Brown, Candace Keene, Courtney Brown, and so many more. Come be a part of history by attending the Cheryl Classic, the first pro show in Asia and the third biggest bodybuilding competition in the world with $150,000 in prize money. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit CherylClassic.com. Come meet your favorite competitors at the Cheryl Classic Expo and after party. Don't miss out on your chance to be a part of history. The 2011 Cheryl Classic. Visit CherylClassic.com. RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina, and I'm now joined by a very special guest, brand new IFBB Women's Bodybuilding Pro, Judy Gillard. If I could say that right, Judy Gillard. Judy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I've done this with every pro that we've had on the show. So, how does it feel like being introduced as an IFBB pro now?
Well, I think that's actually the first time that that's happened, and it's pretty cool.
That's usually what all the ladies say. They're like, I kind of got chills a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, it's real.
So we'll get into your story, and you not only won your pro card at the USA's recently, your husband also won his pro card at the Masters National, so we will get into all of that, but I just want to know, what was that feeling when you were competing at the USA's, when you knew that you were so close to the pro card? What was going through your head before they made the announcement that you, in fact, got one of the two pro cards at the USA's?
When I was standing to the side waiting for the announcements of who got overall and second overall and so forth, honestly, I was going, I don't want to go to Cleveland. I was saying I was going to Cleveland if I got close but didn't get it. I was going on to the North Americans. I was going to hold on for 6 more weeks. But I was thinking, I really don't want to go to Cleveland. Please let me get this.
You weren't necessarily thinking about the pro card. You're like, oh, God, another trip.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was hoping, you was hoping and you just, but you're kind of numb too, but in my mind I was already preparing for the worst and just planning to kick it up another notch and keep going if I had to. I was kind of mentally preparing for that.
You know, I think that's what a lot of people do is you almost plan for the worst just in case. You set your expectations
and hope for the best.
You got to set them just a little bit low. That way you're not completely disappointed, but you're ready, mentally ready for the next step, I guess.
Yes, definitely. But I was excited. I was truly excited. I was looking for my husband while I was on stage. That was the only time the whole show that I couldn't see my husband in the audience. And I was like, where is he at? Because I was kind of needing that reaffirmation from him that, that everything was on point and looking like I'm supposed to be looking.
Right, that everything was going to be okay.
Exactly.
Well, good. So let's talk about your history a little bit. You've been competing for the last couple years nationally and everything, but we'll get into your contest history in a minute. But What got you into female bodybuilding? You know, I've talked with the other female bodybuilders and some of the now the new women's physique competitors. You know, as everyone knows, female bodybuilding isn't exactly a mainstream sport. So what was it that kind of brought you to the stage in the first place?
Well, I've been training for so long. When I first started training, there wasn't even a figure division. There was just fitness, and then there was bodybuilding. So if there had been the other, I don't know that I would have you know, went into bodybuilding to begin with, but I think I would eventually ended up in bodybuilding because I love being able to train 100%, not have to try to ride a fence. You know, I can go all the way no matter what diet. I can, you know, diet as strict as I need to and train as hard and heavy as I need to and not worry about that I'm putting on too much muscle or I might be getting too hard. So that I like that benefit. I've worked with some figure girls and some bikini girls, and it's always a little fine line that you're trying to figure out where exactly they need to be.
Right.
So I like that aspect of women's bodybuilding, you know, as far as you can just train 100%. You don't have to really hold back anything. And then as far as when I first got started, you know, you get in the gym and you get a little bit of definition and you get a little bit of muscle and you kind of like that, and then it just goes from there. You want to add a little bit more. Well, I think I want this a little bit bigger, and it just kind of progressed over the years from there.
Now, when we had Colette Nelson on the show one time, she made a good point that sometimes in female bodybuilding, there's a fine line between passion and obsession.
Yes.
Because you have this this passion for the sport, but do you find sometimes that line gets kind of fuzzy or gets tough to balance that at all? Because like you said, you're allowed to get big and you're allowed to get hard, and there's no, I guess, limits to an extent. But do you find that there's a fuzzy line sometimes with, you know, being kind of obsessed?
I rely on my husband's eyes, and of course my trainer, but I want to be muscular. I want to be as big as I need to be and as hard as I need to be, but I want to remain feminine. And, you know, that's where you kind of just got to keep looking in the mirror and going by the mirror and judging where you're going to keep that feminine look. It can become like an addiction where you just, okay, I'm going to do everything that I can do today as heavy as I can go. And that, you know, that can be harmful. It can be good, but it can also be harmful. And so I rely on the people around me to kind of keep me in check as far as that goes, because I will take it as far as I need to go, because I just love the training part of it. I do love the diet, we all know, is 75%, sure. But I love the training.
Now let's talk a little bit about your training and what kind of has changed over the years. You know, I've taken a look at the pictures, even from, you know, 2009 when you did Junior USAs up until now, and it's such a dramatic change. You look, you know, you looked great then, but you look so much, you're so much more symmetrical and all of that. So let's start from when you first started the national level stages, and kind of what changes did you have to make? What did the judges say you needed to work on from the beginning that kind of was able to move you up to the pro ranks now?
Well, in 2009, the feedback that I got was conditioning. My conditioning, they said I had enough size for my height. I'm only 5'2". Five, 5'2½", really. We'll count the half.
We're definitely counting the half. That's what we do.
Yeah. But most of the feedback from my height, that I had plenty of muscle, that I just needed to bring the conditioning level on in. And I really think my training, I trained heavy on everything. I power lift in the off season, so that kind of affects my muscle growth too. And I think that was hurting me in a sense too, because I was putting on so much muscle, and then when the conditioning wasn't there, I couldn't really back it up. As far as the 2011 season, I got with a trainer. I've never had a trainer before. It's always just been my husband and myself, just going at it and just doing what we had to do or what we thought we had to do. I actually hired a trainer in September of 2010 to start prepping me for this season. And, I mean, we immediately started my diet. We started his training regimen. And he just changed some things up and tweaked some things and rearranged my supplements a little. And, I mean, it made a big difference. I was amazed at just the little changes he made and the difference it made in my physique. I actually think I was over cardioing. I know that for condition, you think you have to cardio a lot, but I was probably hurting myself. I was burning as much muscle as I was. So so I was not benefiting that way. And he actually changed my cardio up a little bit. But I really attribute all my positive changes to my trainer. His name is Buddy with Next Level Training.
Now, were there any specific body parts that you had tried to focus to improve on, or was it mostly just the conditioning?
We did. We focused on, I still think I have weaker shoulders compared to most of the other competitors. They grew a lot this year, but we focused on my shoulders and we focused on my glute ham area. I've always had big hips, big butt. So that has been always been a problem area for me to get tight. And we focused on different exercises and adding an extra day of training for those body parts. And then my tries have always been kind of weak too, so we did a little changing on my tries. And that's still something that I'm going to keep continuing to do because I know that I've got to come bring them on up. But I like the changes that we had so far. Yeah, I really do.
I was going to say, you can definitely tell the difference. So did you take a full year off? Is that what you did, 2010? Did you take the year completely off?
Yeah, my husband and I always compete 1 year and then we would take a year off to recover because I tend to diet 40 weeks plus. And so my body really needs to recover by the time that I'm through with competing that year. And I usually take the whole next year to recover and then recover financially because, you know, it's so expensive. And it's just my husband and I. We had no sponsorships. We had nobody helping us with the financial part of it at all. It's 100% on us. Mm-hmm. And so we would take another year to save some more money so we could compete again and to recover from the money that we did spend. And then we would just, you know, physically recover. And then we would always compete the next year. So that's in September, like I said, September 2010, I started my training and my dieting and my training for the 2011 season.
That's a good way to look at it, because like we all know, competing is expensive, especially when you end up doing three, possibly four shows a year. It can add up. So now you've mentioned your husband quite a bit, and I wanted to get to this part because I'm very excited to also talk about the relationship you have with your husband, who now is also a IFBB pro. He turned pro at Masters Nationals this year. And he looked absolutely incredible. And you were telling me off the air before we started recording that you guys have made some IFBB Pro couple history, I believe, correct?
Yes.
And what is that?
Yes. This was told to me. I haven't researched it for fact, but it was told that we were the first couple or husband and wife team to ever get their pro cards a week apart. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Very, very, very cool. Now, I have to ask, you know, you being a female bodybuilder, your husband being a bodybuilder, what is that like around the house when one is dieting and one is not dieting? What happens?
It's really hard when one is dieting and one is not, which is what's probably the case with most couples. But when we're both dieting, it actually gets easier because we're both in the same routine. We're eating close to the same foods. I mean, he's getting dramatically a lot more carbs than I'm getting. But,
sure.
I mean, I can cook the same food. Don't have to cook different meals. And, you know, I cook all our food up a day and just, you know, and take it with us to the gym. And that helps a lot. And then we cardio together, so that helps a lot. And then our training, we typically train together pre-contest. We don't really train together in the off season, and he kind of keeps me with my weight where I'm at a level that I'm pushing heavyweight because, according, you know, next to his weight, it seems like I'm not lifting anything.
Sure.
And then I keep him with the reps because in the off season, you know, those guys, they want to lift all the heavy weight and they don't really want to rep out anything. So I kind of keep it at a fast pace, moving pretty quick. So we help each other. I mean, we complement each other good.
Now, you were also telling me that you and your husband run your own gym down in Mississippi. So how long have you guys had the gym? And then I also want to ask, what's it like to also work together? Because I know a lot of couples, it's kind of been said, you know, it's tough to work together, with your husband and wife. So first of all, how long have you guys had the gym?
We we bought the gym. We actually purchased the gym. We met in this gym, and we purchased the gym in 2002. So
that's 3 years
earlier.
Like a cute little bodybuilding.
Yeah,
very
cute. It is. I said, who would have thought, you know, when we met that, you know, a few years later we would own the gym that we met in, you know, so that's pretty good. So we've had it for 9 years now. It's Total Body Gym in Ripley, and we have a wonderful Total Body Gym family. All our members, they support us 100%. They have our back, whether we win, lose, whatever. They think we are the greatest things that ever walked, and we appreciate them so much. But as far as working together, sometimes it can get tedious. You know, you ride to work together, you work all day together, and then you go home together, and then you cardio together, especially when we're dieting for competition. So it's like, you know, we, about probably 2 years ago, we decided to one of us take one day off through the week, and then, well, it take 2 different days off through the week. So there'll be one day where he's actually at the gym running it when I'm home, and then he'll take a day, and that way I can get the house straight, he can get the yard straight, that sort of thing. But we also kind of get a break from each other.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's like at the end of the day, you don't say, well, how was your day, honey? Because, you know, you know, there's not really anything
very
to catch
true.
Up. But during peak season, I will say this, there are times when I think at the end of the day, I look back and I'm like, did we even have a conversation? Because we'll be so busy, you know, during peak season that, you know, people are pulling you from every direction. You rarely get a minute to even speak to each other. So it kind of can be the same, but he's my best friend in the end, so it works out good.
And what was it like being able to both turn pro at the same time, virtually the same time? Did you guys expect that this would ever happen?
I mean, you dream it. It's really a dream come true because you dream it. But you, in the end, you know, there's so many. You know, everybody's on point, and everybody's going to be the best that they can possibly be. You just hope for the best. But, I mean, I really believed in him. I really thought that he would, and I hoped I would. But, I mean, I just felt so confident in his look and how he was coming in this year that I actually, from the morning show, I said, I really think you're going to do this. It's very overwhelming. So it really is. It's exciting and it's overwhelming, and it's just, but see, when he got his pro card, then I still had to go to the USA, so he had to he wanted to celebrate. We did celebrate a little, but we couldn't really because I was still dieting, I was still training, I still had to come home and prepare to leave for Vegas. So we celebrated last week in Vegas. We stayed extra time in Vegas and really celebrated good.
That was my next question. So what was the meal afterwards, now that you both were really able to celebrate your big win?
Probably the traditional. I mean, it was definitely pizza.
That
has to be everybody's first meal after a competition, I think. And yeah. he didn't get a meal after. And I tried to get him to go eat something in Pittsburgh, but, you know, it got out so late at Pittsburgh that everything was closed anyway. He ended up getting some buffalo wings or something.
Right.
But it wasn't the just throw down, let's eat something and make ourselves sick meal.
No, exactly. I think that's the worst thing that people can do. However, I had Antitoni on for our last show. I had a quick little interview with her, and I was telling her that I think it's funny when there's, you know, the women who say they're really just craving rice cakes and peanut butter after competition, and I said that's got to be BS. Because everyone wants, like, chocolate cake and pizza, I guarantee you.
Yeah, or cheesecake. I'm craving that dairy. I want, because it's been so long since you had dairy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, he said, I haven't heard you mention cheesecake since we've been home, because we stayed 4 days in Vegas after it was over. And we did the buffet after buffet after buffet, and every buffet has, like, cheesecake on it. I eat so much cheesecake. It's not even funny.
Oh, that's good. Now, how was it? Did you put on a bunch of weight right afterwards, or were you able to kind of maintain it?
I will not get on the scale. I refuse.
Smart woman.
My husband has since we gotten home from Vegas, and he said he's gained 25 pounds.
Wow.
I can tell. I'm still wearing some of my pre-contest clothes, so
okay.
I don't think I did too bad. But we trained while we were in Vegas. The second day, I'm like, I got to get a workout somewhere. So we actually cardioed and trained 2 days while we were in Vegas. After we would go eat breakfast, and then we would go work out. So we were right back in the routine pretty quick.
Yeah, it probably balanced out a little bit.
A little. It helped some. Because you just feel like your eyes are swimming in carbohydrates.
After not having them for so long, I can only imagine.
True.
So now that you know, you've got the pro card, you've achieved the status that so many women are trying so hard to achieve. What improvements now are you going to make from now until the time you step on the next pro stage, or either your first pro stage, rather?
Yeah, I think I'm still going. I'm going to have to try to add some more. I know the judges say, you know, don't add too much. You don't want to throw off your shape mm-hmm. or your symmetry. My legs are naturally, genetically, just huge, so I can get away with just ripping out my legs and not really going heavy with legs. But I still need to pound my upper body and just keep it in line with my legs. I can walk by the leg room and put on 2 inches in my quads.
There are women out there that hate you so much right now for saying that.
I know. I mean, I work with so many women that they have just, you know, they want shapely legs. And, I mean, before I ever even trained or worked out, I had these huge athletic legs that I could do nothing with. You know, no clothes will fit them, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I am blessed in that sense, but then it also makes my upper body, if I don't train heavy on my upper body, I look really out of proportion. Especially when I get my hips back, and they're coming back.
They're counting the days until they're fully back, I can imagine.
My husband is counting the days until they get back to normal. But exactly. I'm going to have to just keep trying to add a little size. Just definitely, you know, just square out my shoulders, round off my shoulders a little bit to my belt, side belts, thicken up my triceps a little bit more. And I would love for my ham and glute area to just be just a little tighter. I'm not a young woman, so it's going to be harder to keep that skin, you know, like I want it, that firmness to my skin where if I let myself go too far, it kind of stretches out. Mainly just get a little tighter in the lower body and add a little bit more size to my upper body and just a little bit tighter. I mean, I liked the way I looked, and I was really pleased with my whole year. I had a dream season, as they call it. I mean, I was 5 for 5. I did 5 competitions, and I won all of them. So, you know, I placed 2nd overall, of course, in the last one, but still, you can't complain ever about your physique when you do that. So, but I'm my trainer says I'm my own worst critic, so I see a lots of room for improvements.
Now, I did read somewhere, I believe it was on RX, which I should probably know, but saying that winning both the Junior USAs, which is, you know, a huge accomplishment, but winning Junior USAs and winning Junior Nationals in the same year is something that I don't think has
ever been achieved
by a women bodybuilder.
Yeah, it's never. Steve Weinberger called Dave Palumbo before the interview and told him that, you know, if Judy Gillard wins, she'll be the first woman to ever done that. And so Dave told me that before the interview, and I was ecstatic. I didn't know it beforehand, but, you know, at every show, I just was hoping to go in a little better than the last and just hope for the best. I mean, and everybody's like, well, you got to be confident. You had to be feeling good about your chances. Every show is different. You never know who's going to show up. And I honestly was just going into every show hoping to be competitive. That was my goal. I just want to be competitive. I want to be in there somewhere where I look like I belong, as they say. So I was really excited with every win.
So what do you think is next for you? When will we see you on a pro stage in the future?
I was talking to my trainer, actually, when I came home. We got home Thursday morning last week, and I called him immediately because I went right back on my diet. I was miserable, and he doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to take some more time to recover. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, just to keep my options open right now and rest. He said, I've been training and competition dieting for 10 months. He said, really need to recover. He said, you need to give your body a break. He said, and then we'll look at the season for 2012 and see maybe a late show. But okay. I don't know that I'll compete next year. I don't know that I have time to add the size I need to add. So I would like to get on a stage just to say that I did it as soon as possible. But I also am realistic that I put my body through it this year. So I'm not sure. I'm gonna trust his judgment. Whatever he thinks is best, he's led me here. So I'm gonna stick with whatever he says.
It's working. So
exactly.
I say don't fix what's not broken for sure.
Exactly. And he actually had 3 athletes turn pro. My husband, myself, and his girlfriend was Jennifer Robinson. She's one of physique at the Junior Nationals.
Absolutely. We had her on right after Junior Nationals as well.
She's
very
a really
exciting.
Good friend, and she is so sweet.
I love Jennifer. If Jennifer's listening, we love you. She's amazing.
Yes.
She really is. Okay, so at the end of every interview, I like to do just kind of 3 fun questions.
Okay.
Nothing too crazy, like I told you before. I won't throw any curveballs. But I have to ask. So I know you run your own gym, so you're obviously in the gym all the time.
Yes.
So what type of music do you like to listen to in the gym to really get pumped up? I imagine you probably need an extra little kick if you're at work. You know, it's like, you know, working yeah. out where you work. But what type of music do you usually listen to when you train?
We have, over the speakers, the loudspeakers, we have Sirius playing. And most of the guys listen to, like, the hard rock or the heavy metal. The Octane is a favorite. But whenever I go to get my workout in the gym, I plug my iPod up. It comes through the speaker. As well, they have to listen to what I want to listen to while I'm working out.
That's good.
Benefit of owning the gym, but I like hip hop. I like something with a good fast beat, some happy music, as I call it. I really don't like raising the music that sounds like they're raising the dead, you know, the screaming into the microphone and all that. It really depends. I mean, I like that kind of music and I can listen to it, but what gets me motivated is a good positive beat.
Some good hip hop. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so second question is, what is your favorite cheat meal? Not necessarily post-contest, because we know now you want some pizza and some cheesecake, but
yeah.
if you do a cheat meal during the week, let's say, what's your cheat meal usually like?
Sushi. I love sushi.
Very popular one, I'm finding.
I love, like, which I can't have at pre-contest, the Philly roll.
Okay.
I love the spicy crab roll. Of course, everybody loves the California roll and the spicy tuna. I love them all. I love it.
That's good.
I do that and chicken teriyaki, and that's a major cheat meal for me.
Very nice. I like it. I'm a little hungry right now.
Yeah, it makes me want to drive and get some sushi now.
I'm going to go meet you down in Mississippi. I'll hop on a plane. We'll go right now. So my last question for you, and I think a lot of women will probably want to hear your answer for this. So knowing that women's physique is now in full run, I guess you could say, in the IFBB, and there's been so much talk about female bodybuilding. Is it going to be here? Is it not? Is women's physique taking over? Is it not? Everyone's just not 100% sure on what's going to happen. However, you know, I have such a respect for all the female bodybuilders who paved the way for, you know, the rest of everyone else to compete, from figure to bikini. And so for the women who still hold true to being a female bodybuilder, who are saying, you know what, I don't want to switch to physique, I don't want to do figure, I love being a female bodybuilder, what advice can you give them as they themselves are trying to shoot for that pro card and they're trying to win and they know it's going against the grain. They know it's a little different than what society, I don't know, they don't really applaud that. It's a little more taboo. So what advice can you give a woman that's a female bodybuilder that's still trying to, you know, get to where you are today?
Honestly, I would say, you know, stay true to yourself. Keep positive people around you. In my little town, they treat me like a queen. I get no negativity at all. I mean, they've got me on a pedestal, and I can do no wrong. So, and that helps to have positive people around you. If you truly love the look of a female bodybuilder, and that's what you aspire to be, then you got to stay true to yourself. I mean, I would be doing this if there was, you know, if there was no money. You know, I do it for a living, but I would be doing it if I didn't make a dime. I would still be a female bodybuilder. You just have to follow your heart and keep people around you that are going to be positive. That makes a big difference. I was actually very pleased and inspired. There were so many quality female bodybuilders this year at every show. I mean, even the local and regional, there was quality women. And I was, by the turnout, there was, you know, more than as many as last year. So that was inspiring as well, that we're not all just falling away to the, you know, by the side of the road and being done or jumping on ship somewhere else. I can appreciate what the NBC is trying to do with the physique. I mean, I know that, you know, the female bodybuilding is not mainstream at all, and some people even consider it, like you said, taboo. And more people want to see a softer, feminine, you know, look. And I'm all about femininity. I just want to be a woman with muscle. You know, I don't ever want to lose my feminine look. I'm not going to sacrifice that to have muscle. But I think you can get the best of both worlds.
Perfect answer. That was, I think, will speak, resonate a lot to all the female bodybuilders out there who still want to be muscular and still want to live this dream that they all have. So, perfect. Well, Judy, thank you so much for coming on Muscle Girls this week. I think we know a lot about you now, which is good.
Thank you, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, Judy, again, thanks for coming on the show this week. And for everyone else, any questions or comments or thoughts about the show, definitely either send me an email, Christina, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, at rxmuscle.com, or just hop on the forum, and then you can post any questions, comments, whatever you want to chat about on the thread when the wonderful Jeff, the producer, puts the show up. So that does it for this episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. We will wrap it up now, and until then, we will see you next week.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is a presentation of rxmuscle.com.